Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 158 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I am your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. We're going to start with some movie talk and then move into video game news with Xbox and PlayStation. Then we'll move over into tech, where we've got the latest in a major ransomware attack, a breakthrough in CRISPR, and a little bit of space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we're here in episode 158, and I am back from a little bit of hiatus. So this is a unique episode here as I'm back after 2 weeks off. Thanks again. A big thanks to our friend Sean for stepping in for me. And I don't think anybody covered my technical gap as I think we were missing a few things like intros over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But all the news was well covered with Sean. Appreciate you you joining the show in my absence here. And then it's also unique because in 158 episodes, this is the first time that we're recording a podcast in the same room.
Yeah, it's live at the same location. This is very different.
Yeah, it's odd. We won't take any pictures or videos of how we're doing this because it might break down the illusion of how professional we are here.
Just whatever high expectation you have set in your head, we're just gonna run with that one.
And if it's low expectations, you're probably on the mark.
You need to still drop that bar a little bit.
So, all right, let's kick in some news here. And first, can we be excited for Black Widow? I've been waiting for this week for there to be like an announcement that, hey guys, we're gonna delay it. We're gonna push it back to August now or October or something else. But Black Widow, it's actually gonna hit the theater.
I have tickets. I am ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to see what this project actually was. I mean, it's been so long that I've been watching trailers of the movie so long. But I actually started thinking about it today, and I kind of felt bad because, like, in the one little preview I saw, Kevin Feige was talking about how fans have been really asking for this movie. Like, they've been asking for it for a long time, and they finally get to see it. And I was like, yeah, you know, and he was like, and it's just this great story because Black Widow has a past and, you know, she becomes an Avenger and it's this great story of redemption. And I was like, but you guys did that story. that's Winter Soldier. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off again. I don't know if this one's going to land the way the first one did. Cause they kind of like, yeah, that's like, you did it with Winter Soldier already. Like, you kind of took Scarlet Witch's thunder Black Widow's thunder, yeah, by you know, having a kind of like a good story arc like that with Winter Soldier. So we'll see where this lands. I'm excited, but I did think about that today, and I was like, oh, it's kind of shitty. They pushed the female role to the side and took her story arc for the dude.
Yeah, I still, hopefully this movie turns out kind of on par with that. I still don't know where the hell. I guess what's the point? We'll find out here soon what the point of this whole movie is and how it feeds into the MCU.
The fans
and the
were owed
MCU.
It. This is really just like the fans were owed it. You know, we, after they started doing everyone's origin story, everybody started asking, you know, for a strong female role, and she fit that already really well in a whole bunch of movies. And people were like, well, where's the Black Widow origin story? Why doesn't this hero get, you know, her own story? We did Ant-Man, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Ant-Man got a movie before Black Widow got a movie. You know, so this is you know, what the fans were due. But I just, yeah, I don't know. The trailers don't really have me super pumped. I'm hoping I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think the trailers have enough interesting things going on in it. It'll probably, I'm hopeful it'll be a good movie. There's no reason to think it's going to be a bad one at this point. But did you see, what's his name, Stephen Dorff?
Yeah, I saw he shit all over it, I guess, right?
He's been all over headlines or whatever else, and it's just because Black Widow's coming out that, you know, they're talking about Stephen Dorff has made comments about how he's embarrassed for Scarlett Johansson.
Remind me why we care.
That's what I
don't understand why.
I don't even know why I'm talking about it, other than the fact
that the to bring up put
like Stephen Dorff. The fact that like the headlines have to say like Stephen Dorff from Blade. It's like,
you gotta remind me.
You had to throw me a bone in order for me to understand why I should care. And you know, it's Stephen Dorff talking about how he hunts out good movies and good shit because he doesn't want to be in garbage like Black Widow and it looks like a bad video game of trash.
If you ask somebody to name every Marvel villain, nobody's naming Stephen Dorff.
Nobody's naming Stephen Dorff.
No one's naming Stephen Dorff, but he's pretty salty about that. I assume.
Go ahead, Stephen, and pretend like if Kevin Feige called you tomorrow that you wouldn't immediately answer that phone. You're just upset that nobody's called you back. You're just upset that you're a lingering, you know, forgotten character from prior MCU.
Well, yeah, and they're rebooting Blade, and that looks phenomenal. So, like, technically, I don't know if he's going to be canon anymore.
No, he's definitely not canon. And I think that's one of the things he's upset about. And he talks about it's... The headline's all about Black Widow, but he goes on like a complete tirade against the Academy Awards, against everything, against the business as a whole, talking about how all filmmakers don't have any clue of what they're doing and that all actors exist in these little boxes for streamers and TV, and it's all just one big clusterfuck now. And whatever else, like, he went on a full tirade. So if you're interested in I guess, Stephen Dorff, He hit a headline this week. I mean, that's something for him.
Yeah.
He probably hasn't been on a headline in 20 years. But ultimately, Black Widow, I'm sure it's going to be great. We'll tune and watch. I might actually go see a movie. Maybe I'll go see it in the theater. Let's see if that happens. And then really, the only other Marvel entertainment news is Loki still going? I'm still only one episode in. For you and Sean last week talking about spoilers and if somebody hasn't watched it yet, it's on them and you're going to talk about it. You made me have to skip the first 10 minutes of my own podcast because I hadn't watched the show yet.
I said flat out, fuck yeah. You had a week. I understand you why you couldn't, but still, fuck yeah. We had to move on. By the time the episode aired, it would have been an entire week to be able to watch it. So if it's still spoiler for you, then man, hit that auto skip. Sorry about it.
Yeah, no, I'm more than one episode behind. I got in the RV after episode one and have been pretty much off the grid until this week. So I'll get caught up, but I'm way behind right now.
It's like a lot of people shit on this last episode. I enjoyed it. It ended interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing where the rest of the show goes because we don't have too many episodes left at this point. So yeah, I they're not groundbreaking television, right? Like none of these shows are groundbreaking television. But I've been highly entertained. Like I can't complain about anything. Like I hope they end this well and we keep moving on.
Yeah, I'm completely spoiler free up to this point. Anytime I see a meme in the Facebook group or whatever else that has the Loki horns in it or something like that, I just skip. I'm a quick scroll pass. I don't read anything. Nothing has been ruined for me yet.
Just mental block. Block.
I'm on a full Loki filter for now. But something we didn't talk about is the meme game this week.
Oh, man. we're going to talk about that.
Not
okay.
Been
okay.
Part of the Facebook group or the internet altogether.
We have to talk about it on the podcast. Why? Right. Because we're family.
Because we're family.
We're family. <'Cause> we're
family. Like the Fast and the Furious, Vin Diesel, Dom.
No, you will not get a review out of me for memes. Fast and Furious 9.
I don't know how you don't review it at this point in time.
Oh,
and just
on.
Talk
don't
about
make me
family.
Leave my house to go see
and
this.
Just talk about family.
Don't
the importance
make me leave
of
my house
family.
To see that movie.
And if you don't say family 20 times in the review,
God.
You write, you failed.
Well,
did you even watch Fast 8?
Even like Fast and Furious fans on this one are staying like how absurd they just really went with all of it. This movie. I mean, I'm going to eventually for sure watch it. Like, don't get me wrong. I am here to see some absurdity, but I just can't justify leaving my family behind to go see that movie.
And I I don't.
Yes, I said family again. Like family. If you had a drinking game for this podcast, where you had to drink a shot every time we said family, don't drive home.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know why he doesn't have time to see it.
Family. But yeah, the meme game. Like, I don't think. I don't know. Like, when Baby Yoda came out, there was a lot of Baby Yoda memes and stuff. But I really don't know if there has been like a concept that has been memed more.
More aggressively. You're talking about like a 2-day run. That's it. Like, that's all it's going to get. It's going to die in two days. But like
variations of the meme that run all across the board. You know, like so many different movie references in TV. Like the context that they use this meme in is just so wide that they just don't stop coming. It's like every time I scroll anything, it's a new one.
Oh yeah,
they're not getting regurgitated that much.
No, it's definitely my favorite meme this week. It's like I said, the volume of it is impressive, and that's with zero effort. That's just what has been thrown in the Facebook group for the Nerd Cantina. Which, if you're not a part of it, go join it, nerdcantina.com/community, and you can see exactly what we're talking about here. But yeah, no, it almost makes you want to see the movie. Like, it actually legitimately almost gets me.
I'm not gonna lie. If the meme game wasn't that strong, the movie would just fade away from my mind, my thoughts. But every time you see that meme now, you're like, man, what if this is some crazy like Russian campaign that the producers of Fast and Furious 9 paid for?
I would respect it. I would actually like it's this is phenomenal
just,
marketing.
It's just like a new form of viral marketing.
Yeah.
And they just got bots making family memes out of everything.
Yeah, if it works, somebody's going to do it. It's like, you'll start seeing this intentionally happening then. All right, let's I guess I can move forward from that and into a little bit of video game news. We've got some PlayStation news here with the apparently, there was a group of indie publishers that went to Twitter to complain about the treatment that they were getting from Console X. And in this article that was produced by IGN, they really kind of capture and highlight a lot of what's going on in this Twitter thread. But it's really a lot of indie publishers coming out and complaining about, which they don't specify, PlayStation. They're very careful to not get sued or to have their games get pulled because of.
But they did say that the console they are naming doesn't have Game Pass,
right? So. And they did mention like pricing that is unique to PlayStation and arrangements and things that are unique to PlayStation. So they're clearly talking about PlayStation throughout this entire thread and just really complaining about how PlayStation is not in very good support of the indie game developers. They do not promote them. They do not give them free rein on like pricing to run their own promotions, to run their own ad campaigns. They're even more challenging in like the way that they check over their games and the requirements that they have and the paperwork and everything to do to accomplish anything is far harder on PlayStation than other platforms.
And I will have to say, when I read this article, I did look on like PlayStation's menu. And I went back to Xbox to see, and Xbox does do like a better job of promoting their indie works.
Like, right, like, yeah, front page of the games is not all just, you know, Bethesda.
And they have a good games indie section. Like, yeah. If you really want to just browse the indie section, and they do often put them on sale, and I'm assuming that, you know, obviously the developers must have some say in it. And then I went to PlayStation's, and yeah, they are just hyping the same, you know, big titles, monthly releases, whatever's going to generate you to play a game and spend a few dollars. Yeah, it doesn't seem like they do give them much support.
Yeah, and they mentioned some other kind of tactics that are asked of the indie games, that if the indie games want to receive any kind of like front page treatment or any kind of promoted treatment, that it's a pretty steep ask from PlayStation in order to do it, which oftentimes, like, you know, if they're going to ask for greater than $25,000 for a temporary bump to be seen on an earlier page of games or whatever else, that might exceed the entire marketing budget for an indie game publisher. So there's not much they can do in that regard.
It's just puzzling because, I mean, why not give them a little bit of love? Like, because does anybody not know that Red Dead Redemption 2 is out? Like, does anybody need the reminder that there is a Final Fantasy remake? Like, these games have been plastered all over the place. If you're a gamer, like, I understand, like, don't take down those games for good. You know, but give them a day, a couple days, you know, put them in a rotation a little bit. It's beneficial to your brand. It's benefit you, like, you're going to make money off these sales, you know, and it keeps people engaged and supports, you know, the indie developer that made this little game now, but might be part of a team that makes a bigger game in the future. Like, why not? Yeah, I don't know. But these guys had some balls even trying to, like, put this out there. Like, so you know they're not going to take this shit lightly.
No, they're not. This the main person who's posting these things is, I'm sure, really going to have some legal actions and some negative effects here, even though they tried his best to keep their name out of it.
Well, good luck, buddy. Way to say fuck your boss on Twitter.
But we can move on from an indie publisher on PlayStation. Let's talk about a major publisher, a major game on PlayStation, and this treatment that, you know, we see here with the Ghost of Tsushima, and there's apparently a director's cut with special, you know, PlayStation 5 features that are stuck behind a paywall, and there's a lot of gamers upset about this.
Yeah, like, so if you want to buy the game, the director's cut, it comes with, like, a whole other island and part of the story. A new part of the story where you get to play an expanded part of the game. If you buy it new, like you've never owned it before, it's just $59.99 at $69.99, which is pretty standard. But when you get to, like, a situation where you owned the game already, now they're charging you an extra, I think, $19.99 for the PS4 version update. And
yeah, and
$29.99 for the PS5 update. So if you bought the game when it released, you paid $60. And if you want to upgrade to the PS5 version, you're basically $90 in at the end of it, when essentially if someone was just to buy it new now, they get it for $70.
Yeah. That's I don't know. Is this that uncommon though in video games? I get it. It's gonna upset a lot of gamers.
Well, you would think that there's, like, DLC, maybe you want to cut a deal to the people that are upgrading because they bought your game already. Like, they supported you. They were there from day one. Like, why shouldn't you get a little bit of a reward when it comes to expansion? Like, you gotta take care of the people that look out for you from the jump, right? Like, anybody that's signing up now at the end, like, they obviously didn't care about that game. They didn't support it upon its release. So if anybody should take a bigger hit, shouldn't it be that group?
I mean, I do agree, in theory. I guess just the question is why is this different than any other DLC that public game publishers charge as they change? I get it. Ghost of Tsushima is less than a year old. It's like a director's cut, it's mostly the same story.
For like a small island expat, because that's kind of like what you're paying for and getting. Because, like, they've upgraded to the new PS5 graphics on a few games. Like, you didn't have to pay to upgrade to God of War. I don't think you had to pay for Final Fantasy VII, though. No, so it was all about timing with Final Fantasy VII. So I bought the game prior to a certain time and got the upgrade for free. But if you bought it after a certain other time, they charged you a higher price because of the upgrade.
Yep.
They're all over the place with this pricing, actually, now that I think about it.
They are, and, you know, they compare it to Xbox, but Xbox isn't a fair, I guess it is fair comparison in the sense that Xbox has Game Pass, and a lot of the games, like Gears.
This shit would be on Game Pass, dude. Like, don't act like Gears, this shit would be on Game Pass.
Gears had similar changes during the upgraded Gears to Series X, and any changes, any updates were all free to Game Pass owners or Game Pass subscribers. So got it. Yeah, it's... Xbox is just doing a better job with Game Pass as far as a long-term support of their customer base.
Yeah, I've always thought, though, that that's where their strong point was, is listening to fans, trying to take care of fans. Like, it seems like PlayStation just knows that they got a lion's share of the market, And fuck it, man. We just want to make money. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Make money. So pay for this game, kid.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's really much you can do about it. If you're going to Tsushima as a kind of fan there, you're stuck with this cost. But
yeah, you're going to eat it. You know you're going to eat it. Just take it.
Yeah. But let's move on. I think that's all we've got on entertainment news and video game news here. And we'll move into a little bit of a kind of deeper tech segment as our first topic is on ransomware. Surprise. Like this is, something that continues to hit and plague businesses and plague individuals on a, daily basis, it seems like now. But a big ransomware attack happened this last week, which some are saying is as big, potentially bigger, and the implications may be larger than like that huge SolarWind attack that happened. And this is another attack by the Russian hacking group, or has been credited back to the Russian hacking group, R-Evil, or Revel, or however you want to say it. But this Russian hacking group, they were ones who were tied back to that food, I can't remember the company, the food distribution plant from a couple months ago. And in this instance, they attacked a company that it was essentially it's, is it Kaseya? Kaseya?
Kaseya
is, and they're a company that essentially, they update software for other companies, and that's their whole shtick, is they have access to remotely control programs for other companies, and they manage it, update their programs, make sure that their systems are always up to date. And Kaseya gets attacked. They are the ones who get exposed, who get affected here, and in turn, all of the businesses that they serve were exposed to this threat. And what it turned out to be is, when they first started talking about it, it was only like 40 of its customers were hacked. That became larger and larger over the weekend. It wasn't heavily reported because it's 4th of July. We got fireworks to blow. We got shit to do. But
celebrating freedom.
But ultimately, you look at dozens of companies affected, and up to some estimate up to a million devices, individual devices, because unlike other ransomware attacks where it really shuts down like a specific function or system of a business and ties that. This one, because of the nature of Kaseya, which allowed for program updates, it allowed them access to individual devices, and they have been able to lock through ransomware over a million devices, just computers and programs just dead. And they're asked for $70 million.
That's what the shitty part is like so much collateral damage when you do a hack like this. It just goes down the chain. The people that just thought they were being safe, they thought they were good, all of a sudden you wake up and because there's a flaw in someone else's system, now your shit's fucked. Like that's so shitty.
Yeah, and I mean this is a lot of businesses. Kaseya doesn't really affect very many like individual consumers. That's not really what this is about, but these businesses that rely on them to manage their software and manage their computers, you've got entire like cashier systems, entire computer systems that are used in various retail chains. So there's an entire like grocery chain that is shut down right now because they have no cash registers. They have no way to actually process payment.
I wonder if there's insurance for hacking yet. If you think about it, like when you think about money or files or anything, a lot of stuff gets sent through armored car, and it's supposed to be safe and you trust the armored car, but even the armored car gets robbed, it happens, but everybody doesn't usually worry about it because that shit's insured. I wonder if we are at a point now with hacking being so prevalent that we have insurance for hackers. So if your system gets shut down, if you have to pay a large ransom, if you have to do XYZ, that some of your losses are mitigated.
Yeah, I'm certain that there is some level of insurance, that some companies have access to it. It'll probably become something that is actually more prevalent going forward. And it might actually help a lot of the businesses because the insurance companies, they're going to come in, they're going to try to probe your systems, and they're going to say, hey, here's the minimum level of protection you need. Here's how often you need to update it. Here's how often you need to do reviews to be insured.
Why we have seatbelt laws too. Like the minute insurance companies had to do payouts, they were instantly looking at a way to force everybody to wear seatbelts, every car maker to be safer. Like, you would not get safety standards today without massive pressure from insurance companies to make less premium payouts. Like,
yeah, so
these companies did not make the airbag and all these other things out of the kindness of their fucking heart because they give a shit about you. Like, no, this is all about mitigating loss.
Yeah, so I it would probably help, but you know, for right now, you know, this the $70 million Bitcoin, you know, it's always easy. The FBI and everybody wants to say, hey, never pay these ransoms, never pay for this you know, encryption key or decryption key to get out of this system. But you know, these are a lot of small businesses that are being affected by this Kaseya. There's a lot of businesses that are right now crippled, devices that have been rendered useless, and it's, you know, what's the solution if you don't pay the ransom? What is the FBI going to go in and figure this out and go and free up every single one of these devices independently? It's not going to happen. So this is a tough one to not pay. We'll see if we hear somewhere in the future if it was paid or if it was figured out or negotiated, or maybe it gets paid and they go snatch that Bitcoin wallet like they did the last one. But ultimately, this one's in a tough spot. But the sheer number of individual assets, individual computer assets and devices, this far outweighs any previous hack.
Yeah, I mean, we run these stories all the time, and it's almost like this. It goes unnoticed to most of society, and that's why we keep talking about them and hoping that like people who listen to the show and everything realize, like, man, they do like a hacking story a week. Like, this must be getting really bad, because I don't think the general public realizes how much this actually goes on. You know, the media doesn't talk about it. Nobody really mentions it until it's like a giant, like, yeah, oil pipeline hacker.
Yeah.
You know, like, you get the really big ones to hit the news every once in a while, you know, but if it's a slow news day. But if there's anything else going on in the world, you're not going to hear about the major hack that just happened. So yeah, like, I don't know. I think society really has kind of like a duty to start really caring about this kind of stuff also.
For sure. But if you're a business, you absolutely know about this stuff. And I'm sure it's something that keeps people up at night nowadays. When you look at all of these ransomware attacks, wherever else, or like the story that you and Sean talked about last week with Western Digital, hard drive, like, that wasn't even about money. That wasn't about anything. That was just some angry person from bogus, Western Digital, man, that just said, "You want to know what? I'm just going to delete everything else.
Fuck your data."
Yeah. I mean, I was listening to you and Sean talk about it, and yeah, it's difficult to understand why somebody would do that, unless that was somebody who really sent out a fair amount of nudes. And they know that their ex-girlfriend or their ex-boyfriend had it all on that hard drive.
Some crazy nerd sent out the dick pic to the wrong person, and they said they were going to spam it all over the internet. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to wipe it from the internet.
Oh yeah, I know exactly where you store these things.
But it's insane.
Ultimately, again, this last story, let's follow up with it. We'll see in the future, see if this gets paid out. But it's a big story today, still unresolved at this point, coming out of the 4th of July holiday. And let's I guess move through another story it's in tech, just because I guess, you know, it's biological tech. CRISPR, we've talked about CRISPR in the past, and this latest week, we get a new CRISPR gene editing technique that is having some real success and promise for treating a ton of genetic diseases through a single dose, and also just being injected through the blood, which is different. It's different than what we've talked about in the past. It's different than what CRISPR-Cas9 has been used in the past, where they're very, like, they take CRISPR, the gene editing tools, and they're injecting it directly into the tissue or directly into the holder of the genetic code that they're trying to adjust. In these latest tests, they're just injecting it into the blood, letting it go full fantastic voyage, finding the tissues. For those of you who don't know that reference, go fuck yourself.
Nobody got that, man. Nobody got that.
Full fantastic voyage, finding the tissues, finding the actual genetic code that it's supposed to adjust, and then doing it with a success rate across many different genetic disorders. Man, it really shows a lot of promise for what can be done through CRISPR.
Yeah, and we've always talked about like the dangers about it, right? You know, super Olympic athletes and super soldiers and everything that they're going to do unethically about it. But this is an example of like the positive that's going to come out of it and why we still kind of need to use and do this technology. You know, this the dude that they did this procedure on, his body was like producing a protein that was like killing him inside. It was just like constantly wreaking havoc on his inside. They couldn't do enough surgeries to keep this dude going. And they took out his blood. They changed a little bit of code, told his body, hey, stop making that protein. Like, what are you doing, body? Stop making that protein. Put it in his blood, and his new blood cells just, yeah, fantastic voyage, yelling at his body, stop making that protein, y'all. Stop making that protein. And in one dose, his body stopped making the protein. He's doing fine. Like, he's going to live a normal life now. Like, that is huge for modern medicine. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, and you've got to think of the future use. How many genetic disorders are out there? How many just genetic disorders are hard to even target, that they're pretty well far spread and systemic, like amyloidosis is, which is affects all of the musculature in your body and breaks down muscles into proteins. So it was hard to target that through any kind of traditional treatment. And being able to target those unique cells, but in a wide distribution pathway through the blood, this has an awesome just future potential use and capability that, I got it. Small sample size here. It's, you know, they didn't go cure everybody in the world with this. They didn't do anything else. But there is a lot of promise behind it. And hopefully somewhere in the future, we see this kind of pan out into actual usable treatment here in the United States.
Yeah, you know, it's still at the dawn. You know, we know how everything goes with tech and medicine all at once. You start out with a small number, but in a blink of an eye, CRISPRs are just going to be all over the place. There's going to be all kinds of cool things that they're going to be able to do with this. So I just, yeah, I'm very interested in this subject. And I just find it crazy that we can do things on this kind of level and fix things that go so deep into the body. You know, we're the medical community. We all think about, you know, amputees. Like, it's all so much so on a surface level. To get down to this like molecular level of editing our body, fixing things that are broken, is just, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and move on to our last little segment here, and we can fill up a little time here talking about our favorite tech billionaires. And this article here about Space News is just simply that Richard Branson has decided to fly into space on July 11th, and he's got a crew of people going out on his Virgin Galactic space plane, and he's going out on July 11th, immediately kind of just making this decision, and there's no way to look at this other than the fact that, like, he did this intentionally to beat just Jeff Bezos by 9 days.
Man, just to be a dick.
Just to make sure Jeff Bezos is not the first billionaire on his own privately funded, you know, space tourism thing into space. Like, there's no reason there's nothing to believe.
Super petty, bro.
This is
like
the greatest.
Super, super petty. And I'm like, but I'm here for that level of petty. Because these are people that are used to getting their way, having it, you know, however they want. They have these grandiose ambitions, and like to have another one troll the other, like it's epic on so many levels. and it's you know, at some point says, you know, it's a neener, neener, neener. Like, gotcha, motherfucker, gotcha.
It is one of my probably most kind of favorite stories recently, is just Jeff Branson, like, or not Jeff Branson, Richard Branson doing this to Jeff Bezos, because you know how pumped Jeff Bezos has been about this. He's been talking about this for a couple months. Probably thought he had no reason to rush this. Like, he was taking his time, auctioning off his seats for way too much money, and the whatever it turned out to be, $28 billion for his seat to join him up there. Really just been loving these press releases and getting ready and waiting until he steps down, because he just stepped down as the CEO officially this last week. And then out of nowhere, Richard Branson just reminds him that, like, hey, youngin, I've been working towards this thing way longer than you. I've been trying to figure out this weird space 747 delivered vehicle to go fly in space. I've been doing this for years, and you're new to the game. I'm not letting you beat me here. And I'll see you when I land on July 11th.
Makes me really wonder. Like, I thought a lot of science had to go into launch dates. You know what I mean? Like, I thought.
So, but that's the beauty of Richard Branson's, right? Richard Branson's doesn't need that same level of FAA clearance. Because he hitches a ride. He hitches a commercial plane ride and then launches from wherever. And that was the beauty of Richard Branson's plan for space tourism, is it doesn't require very tight launch windows and FAA clearance in the same way. And he just proved how flexible his company is right now.
Oh, I do love it, man. It is so petty.
It is. And I'm looking forward to this weekend on July 10th when we find out that, like, SpaceX has just launched up Elon out of nowhere.
Elon plants a Shiba Inu flag on the moon like a dickhead on July 10th. And everyone's just like, oh, what the fuck? Fucking Elon.
Yeah, you've got to hope that that's coming. And then, meanwhile, you've got the other tech billionaire, just patriotic as hell, surfing the water.
I forgot I told you we needed to talk about this today, like, instantly. Like, now that you said it, it just puts, like, it was so... At no point does it even feel patriotic, right? Like, at no point does Zuckerberg on, like, what are those things called?
I'm going to need you to paint this picture for everybody, because there's some people who haven't watched this video.
So what's the name of that, like, surfboard thing that he's riding? Those automated surfboards?
Yeah, those little jet ski surfboard things. Yeah, I don't even know what they are.
Like, I am... Like, that's some next level money shit, because I don't even know its name.
No,
like,
you don't get to know its name until you've got a net worth. This motherfucker's
riding sea crafts that I don't even know the names of. Like, what the fuck? And he's just hauling ass on this thing, like, awkwardly holding an American flag, not waving, not like, because he's dipping pretty fast on this thing. So he's just kind of like holding it in front of him, the flag's waving, and he's supposed to be this, like, big America moment, but it doesn't feel that way, like, in the slightest. Like, no. In the slightest.
You know, yeah, I don't know if there's anybody who can look at what he's doing and say that it's out of, like, some kind of patriotic duty. And, like, I briefly watched the video, and for as long as I was watching the video, I was way more enthralled at just reading the comments, the Instagram comments of everybody just chiming in. And, man, it's unfortunate.
Well, I just don't trust a single impressed person. Like, this dude could be riding on that thing with a green flag, and he's just superimposing
China.
Insert country here. Insert country here. And it, like that video just hit every nation.
That's genius. To just fly a green screen flag. Oh, man. Disney just stole that idea. They got all the technology to make work.
I just, yeah. I want to.
Every one of Disney's movies all of a sudden is going to have, like, Chinese flag. Chinese flags.
Fourth of July is such a fun holiday. And, like, you see everybody's Fourth of July posts. And you're like, I got to that one. And it was just like one of those, this motherfucker moments, you know? like the minute you see it, you're just like, this motherfucker, are you serious?
But, you know, he's got to step up his game. He's really got to get out to space a little faster. I mean, everybody else needs
better publicists. Yeah. Because that was not the look, homie. That was not the look. On a very fun day where I'm living the American dream, and I'm literally barbecuing, drinking, and watching tiny children run around with sparklers as fireworks go off. While
explosions are going off, like, yeah.
Bro, it was a suburban fucking infomercial in my life yesterday. You know, I get to that, and it just kind of, like, left a bad taste in my mouth. Like, yeah, no, this ain't gone.
You know, that's it for a short week of a little bit of news here. You know, it's I guess good to be back on the grid.
Yeah, I hope everybody's still got all their digits.
I, yeah, I wish I was still out in the RV a little longer. I got to get back to the real world, go back to work, do all those things.
You got
to
get on that Starlink then. Like, we got to get on it. You need better connections.
I do. But for those of you, again, before we thank everybody else, another big thanks to Sean for filling in. It's probably not the last one, Sean.
Sean.
don't worry. We'll call you up again here soon and have you join us for a three-person conversation here in the future. But again, big thanks. And thanks for everybody who's still listening here. And I appreciate you listening. Take a moment. Give us a rating, review thing, or just share it with somebody else. Just get it out to somebody else who might find it interesting. And just remember, this is all about family.
Do it for the family.
All right. Until next week, nerds. See you.
See ya.